trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more. And the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when sinners shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
Remember what it is? On that
when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share. I gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
not even the angels could die. The only provision for my freedom was destined to be the sweet Lamb of glory and His only reason was me.
Take your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 5. Henry Kissinger became a household name during the Nixon administration. His brilliance was tapped by world leaders who readily recognized his genius, but possibly, it is said, his wisest pearl did not come from politics. In a moment of contemplation, he said, "What has most surprised me about life is how quickly it passes." Many of us have made similar type statements in which we have said as we grow older how quick life passes by and how quickly our children have grown from children right into grown men and women. And we watch some of you Sunday school teachers see adults walking around that were in your class as children. And so forth. As we see these things, we realize how quickly life passes and how soon things go by us. That's why King David said in 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 15, "Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding." We look at life that we have, and it seems like, you know, everything is going fine. But we turn around twice, and we've missed a year, and it's hard to believe. Next week, we begin special services with Evangelist Bill Abbott and his family there. My question to you is, will you take advantage and allow God to deal with your heart during that time, or will life pass you by in this regards as well? It is so easy for us to become busy, and we're all busy in some things or another. This world has so much at our fingertips today. You have really got to be backwards in some things to not have a busy life. From work to ministry at church, if you're involved at all, to your family, there's all kinds of things that you can get caught up in. On the internet with social media and things of that nature. Now, I know some of you older folks maybe don't get into the social media too much, but there are other things. I talk to some people that are retired, and guess what they say? Their life is busy. They are constantly doing things. And I would look forward to the day that I could be retired.
I don't think it'll happen until the Lord comes or he takes me out of here or something. But at the same time, you look forward to those type of things with the anticipation maybe life will slow down a little bit. I don't think that it happens. I think we'd have to be blind to see it and think that. But at the same time, life is busy for everyone. It's easy for us to live day by day and only realize years later that we've missed a lot because we did not take time and allow God to deal with our hearts and to minister as we should. Then right after our special meetings there, Easter will be upon us. One-fourth of the year of 2016 will be gone. And we're looking then, shortly after that, to our youth ministry winding down. And leaders and youth, could I ask a question? Are you allowing each club night to impact you? Leaders, are you using every club night as an opportunity there to impact the youth that God has given you in your class? It is so important for us to realize that these opportunities, once they're gone, they are gone. And you cannot get that back. And so we must take advantage of every ministry, of every service opportunity that God gives us. That's the way service opportunities are as they slip by us. That's the way days are as they slip by us. We cannot get them back. And that's why we need the psalmist's perspective in Psalm 118, verse 24, where he says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." This is the day is the key that is there. I want us to see that today, every day, every day is the day God has made. And he's made it a certain way. And I want us to look at four things this morning concerning this day that God has made. Father, I pray that as we look, that we would not just agree and understand that life is brief and the days go by fast, and the older we get, the faster they roll. But Father, I pray that we would not only just agree to that, but Lord, that we would take measures to recognize and to use the opportunities that you give us, to understand the things of your purpose the best that we can, and allow you, Lord, to lead us through these days of yours in our life, that we may come to the other side and hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Lord, I pray that as we look into this message of yours this morning, I ask that you would help us to concentrate, that there would be nothing to distract us from listening intently to what you have for us. I pray, Lord, that you would help me through your Holy Spirit to be able to share very clearly and fluently the things of your message here, that we may understand it in its entirety. Lord, I pray that then we may submit ourselves to those things that you point out in our lives this morning. Help us, Lord, to be here to understand your purpose for us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The first thing I want us to see about this day that the Lord has made is found here in Psalm 118:24 that I just quoted. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Each day is a gift from God. It is a provided day. So the first thing we see is it is a provided day. Living today may be hard. All of us would agree to that to a certain extent. This past week, I had opportunity to sit down with an older gentleman. I had not seen him for many years. And as I got to witness to him a little bit and share some things with him, one of the things we got into talking about and leading up to that was about life and how many things as the older you get that you get to see that changes in this lifetime. And there are many things. You think of some of you that are elderly in here, the things that you have seen over the years, the things that have changed, and how life was back, let's say even in the 1930s. Let's go back that far and say that, hey, life was harder in some ways. Life was easier in some ways. Could we say life was different? Life had its difficulties then, and life has its difficulties today. Life back then was difficult because of a lot of the things were not automated like they are today. A lot of things that we have automation and take for granted took hours of hard work to accomplish back in those days. And yet today, there's so many things that are automated, that are made for ease and are made for quickness. We have information at our fingertips, etc. If you would have taken a person that was middle-aged back in the 30s and the type of work that they were doing and drop them down in this day and time today and have them to compete with another person of their age today in the workforce, they could not keep up because things are so much faster and multitasking and all that goes on today of things that are accomplished today has its difficulties as well. But the point is, life always, for different reasons, has its difficulties and its hardships. And with that, then, we need to understand that we're living in a hard time, a time that there are difficulties, yet it is wonderful compared to the alternative of not living. So we praise the Lord that He has given us the life that we have to be available, even though it may be difficult as it is, and some have more difficulties than others. But since God provides the day, we should accept it, first of all, from Him. This is the day that God hath made. He has given you this day. He has given you your life. He has given you your body. He has given you your mind. He has given you the opportunities that you have. And so this is the day that God has given us. This is what He has for us, and we should accept it from Him. We shouldn't demand to understand the day. We're warned in Proverbs 3 and verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. You know, you cannot even, and I cannot even trust our understanding of things because God's ways are so much higher than our ways. And so it's important for us to trust Him and not demand that we understand the why of the day. But what we should seek to do is to understand the purpose for it, as we'll see in a moment. We're to use it, this day that He has given, for Him. All the opportunities that He gives us, we are to take advantage of. And we are to rejoice in it, both the good and what we would call the bad, because God is in control of it all. Look here at Romans 5 that I ask you to turn to, verses 3 and 4. In verse 2 there, he's going to glory in God because of the good things that God has done and given, etc. But also in verse 3, and not only so, but we glory also, he says there, in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, or confidence is the word there, and hope maketh not ashamed or disappointment. And so we have here that Paul says there, I want to glory. I want to be glad. I want to praise God. I want to thank God for not only the good that He has done and the great days that He gives, but I want to thank Him when things are going tough and bad. I want to thank Him for the bad days that are there too. You know why? Because He gave it. This is the day that God has made. And He made it there with a purpose. And that's the next thing that we see that I want you to see. Not only is it a provided day, but it is a provincial day. It is a day of providence, a day in which God is working to bring about His purpose. So it is a purposeful day. Romans 8:28, it says, all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to His purpose. And as God is working things in our life, He has a purpose. And it is for our betterment. Sometimes even the difficult things in our life are there to try our faith, to put us through the fire, to get rid of the dross of sin in our life, and to make us more like unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And so even the difficult things, the things of fiery trials, the things that are hard for us to go through, are not things that we should just say, Lord, take all of these things out of my life. We would love for Him to do that. But many of those things that are there for a purpose, and God is working through those things His glorious purpose in us. We may not be able and should not expect to be able to understand the day, but we should try to understand the purpose that God is seeking to work it in us. And so looking for, Lord, what are you trying to teach me through this? What should I be learning through this? How can I grow through this, Lord? And so every day that we have is God's day that He has provided, and it is a day that has purpose. One of the things that I think is closely related to seeking to understand God's purpose in the day is His leading of us through the day. God leads us through the day, each day that He has given, and He wants us to understand and see His purposes, but it is seeing as we follow Him in His leadership. There are three things that I want you to see about following the Lord there as He seeks to lead us. The first one is found in Psalm 32 and verse 8. He says there, God says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. I've shared this passage before, and one of the things I did was a little object lesson, actually. I took 2-inch PVC pipes, and I took two of them about 2 feet long, and I taped them together to make kind of like a binocular. And then I had a partner, and we had a little obstacle course, and the one person was supposed to look at the face of the other person, because that's all they could see with this long binocular, and the other person would take their eyes and move to the right or the left there to guide them through the obstacle course. Now, they weren't supposed to look down. They weren't supposed to look around. If they're not looking at the eye of the other person, they're not going to see. And two, if the farther they get away from their partner, the harder it is to see their eyes which way it's moving. Now, both are an analogy to us as the way that God leads us. I will lead thee with mine eye. We have to be looking to the Lord closely to be able to follow Him. And the further we get away from the Lord, the harder it's going to be to see His leading. And so we must keep a close relationship and walk with our Lord. Sin hinders that. So we must keep the sin out of our life. We must keep our sin confessed so that our walk is close with Him. We must concentrate upon Him in order to see and understand His leading in our life. Not only do we see that, but He leads us very closely so often through His Word. He has given His Word to us in Psalm 119, 105, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so God many times leads us by speaking to us through His Word to give us the direction of the next step He wants us to take by faith in following Him. So I would say then, it is important, wouldn't you agree, that we stay in the Word of God regularly. Don't neglect the daily exposure to the Word of God. I'm not a betting man, but I think it would be a safe bet to say that there are Christians sitting here that this past week, since last Sunday, they did not crack a Bible to look at even one verse. I'm not going to ask who you are. God knows that, and I hope you know that. What I want to do is encourage you to tell you
that it is no way possible for you to walk with God apart from being in His Word. You will fail constantly as a Christian. Your life will be racked with sin if you don't get in the Word. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. It's been said that God's Word keeps us from sin, and sin keeps us from God's Word. And so we've got to make sure that we have daily exposure to the Word of God. Don't neglect it. And then in 1 Kings 19, we need to listen carefully for the Holy Spirit to speak to us and to guide us as well. Back 6 years ago or so, my family took a trip up to Connecticut from a nephew's wedding. And as we were traveling up, we got up toward New York City. We were following my GPS. Anyway, we got up toward New York City there, and there was multiple lanes. I mean, you know, here we were, and we had three or four over here and three or four over here. And all of a sudden, we were getting to a point where we could see that about three were going that way, about four or so was going over here. There was a divider here and some more lanes over here. And GPS lost signal. And Vicki Quick grabbed a map, and she was trying to talk to me, and GPS was going, recalculating. And the cars were all zooming by, and I was trying to slow down to say, where am I supposed to go? We could say it kind of represents life being hectic sometimes. And there are all kinds of things trying to speak to us. Then all of a sudden, I heard it. Luke, follow the force. No, that's not what I heard. But seriously, when life is hectic, when there's so many things that is pulling at us and tugging at us, we have got to pause and listen intently for the Lord to speak to us. That's what we see exemplified here in 1 Kings 19. We'll pick up reading there in verse 11. And here Elijah is discouraged. He's under the juniper tree there early in the chapter. And God is trying to encourage him. He sends him down toward this mountain there. And in verse 11 God said there, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle, his overcoat, showing reverence. And he went out and he stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing? No, there was a lot of commotion in the wind, breaking the rocks, the earthquake, the fire. But then there was the still, small voice. God often speaks to us the same way. I'm not talking about audibly, but in our spirit, as we have His Word in us, and we are following Him intently, He will help to lead us and to say, this is the way, walk ye in it, when we need to turn to the right or to the left. God wants us to follow Him, but He wants us to listen intently. This is the providential day, the day that God has a purpose, and He wants us to follow Him in that purpose. We are then also to rejoice in it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice as He leads it.
Not only is it a provided day and a day with a purpose, but it is a passing day. Over in James chapter 4 and verse 14, he says, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." King David had said that our life is like a shadow. It just goes before us very quickly. Here James describes it as a vapor that appears like on a cold day when you breathe out and then it's disappeared and it's gone. Life is brief is the point there, as we said earlier. It disappears and goes so fast. But that's why Moses' prayer, I believe, is so important for us. In Psalm 90 and verse 12, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom." Teach us to number our days. Lord, help me to keep up with the track that my life is passing before me. The days are going by, and I can't get them back. Similar to what Paul said in Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming, to purchase, to buy up. Buy up every opportunity. Take every opportunity that God gives you to serve. Our time, a day, it cannot be repeated. It cannot be stretched. It cannot be stored. But it will be spent. What are you going to spend your day on? Can't get it back. On the desk of Dr. John Maxwell is a humorous reminder that he uses to lighten up times of stress. It reads, "God put me on earth to accomplish a certain number of things. Right now, I'm so far behind, I know I'll never die." The point is, God does have certain things that He wants us to accomplish. And unfortunately, we are going to die. Our time, our days will be over. Our opportunities will be past. Each day is a passing day. Don't let it pass you by. And then the final one, it is a present day. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." In Hebrews 3 and verse 13, we're told, "But exhort, encourage one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." We are not to let yesterday spoil today. We're not to let the thoughts of tomorrow cripple today. Yes, yesterday is important. Both its victories should encourage us. Its failures we should learn from, but then we don't stay there. We go on. Tomorrow is important. We ought to plan and prepare ourselves for the opportunities that God gives us, the priorities that He wants us to have in our lives there, and the responsibilities that He has given to each one of us. But we don't live in the past. Past failures will never contribute to present benefits. And it'll only make us fail in the present. We cannot live there. Also, could I say this? Behold, now is the accepted time. Today is the day that we should do it. Don't procrastinate. Any of you procrastinators out there? I got my hand up. I can do that. There's one thing I've learned not to procrastinate in, and that is preparing a message. I'd go crazy if I waited to Saturday to prepare my message to preach on Sunday. I can't do that. But I used to all the time. You ask my wife when we were in college, and she was my typist. Back in those days, we didn't have computers. But she was my typist, and she'd be after me knowing that I had a paper due and said, when are you going to get me your, so I can type it? And, of course, she'd be up sometimes hours of the morning typing for me. That wasn't too good. Any of you out there thinking about that, you know. But anyway, procrastination. I'll do it tomorrow. Do you know that every day has a tomorrow? Yes. Tomorrow never comes. There's always a tomorrow, we say, we think. We should not be putting it off, procrastinating. We don't know about tomorrow. As James said there, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. We don't know. We're not guaranteed. Therefore, now is the accepted time. Now is the time for us to choose. Now is the time for us to serve. Now is the time for us to decide what we're going to do, how we're going to follow the Lord. This is the day that the Lord hath made. It is provided by God with a purpose. It's a passing day, so therefore we must treat it as a present day. Every head bowed, please. Could I ask just for a moment? Do you know for sure that you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you cannot definitely, without any doubt, say, Pastor, I know that I have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I know that He has cleansed me from my sin. I know that if I were to die this afternoon, I would be in God's presence in heaven. I am assured because I know whom I have believed and have put my trust in. It's the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you cannot say that, then why are you putting it off to tomorrow? Why not now? Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation, God says. Do it while God is dealing with your heart. Don't resist it. Don't push it off. For those of you that know that you have trusted Christ, do you recognize each day as from God with a purpose? Are you walking close to Him to lead you through each day? Or have you let sin separate between you and your God? Has there been distance? Have you been neglecting His Word? Are you using every day wisely for Him? Remember, as it's been said, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Don't let life pass you by. Father, I pray for each one of us. Whatever the needs that you have dealt with our heart about right now, Lord, may we surrender to you. Father, I pray that in doing so, that you may take our hearts, our lives, that you may remind us each day that you have given us of how precious it is and what purpose that you have, and that we may be determined to live for you, our King. May that be our choice today. In Jesus' name, amen.